Please be seated. What a gracious, loving Father we have. Our gospel lesson this morning is taken from the gospel according to St. Luke, chapter 11, verses 1 through 4, where we continue in our series in Luke and our mini-series within it on the Lord's Prayer, and where we find these Spirit-breathed words of life and blessing, healing for our souls. Luke chapter 11, beginning in verse 1. Now Jesus was praying in a certain place. And when he finished, one of his disciples said to him, Lord, teach us to pray, as John taught his disciples. And he said to them, when you pray, say, Father, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come. Give us each day our daily bread. And forgive us our sins, for we ourselves forgive everyone who is indebted to us. And lead us not into temptation. The grass withers and the flower fades, but the word of our God shall stand forever. Let's look to our God once again in prayer. Our loving Heavenly Father, we rest in your love and bask in your fatherly care and favor towards us and your Son. We rejoice that through Christ we are able to call you Abba, Father. And we give you thanks for your Spirit who lives in us and assures us that we are your beloved children forever. In these moments together, speak to us afresh from your gospel and grant us joyful dependence on you for every provision. Through Christ we pray. Amen. Well, just a few days ago, a headline read, Jeopardy fan stunned after Lord's Prayer question stumps all three contestants. The clue was, Matthew 6, 9 says, Our Father which art in heaven, this be your name. All three contestants stood awkwardly in their place until the buzzer for time rang out. And the host told them the answer. Hallowed, she said humbly. Hallowed be thy name. One Jeopardy superfan spoke for many when she tweeted, That's hallowed, you heathens! So with that, we were reminded why we are taking our time with this portion of the gospel according to St. Luke, the Lord's Prayer, so foundational, so rich, so powerful. Jesus was inviting us by grace into his relationship with the Heavenly Father. He was inviting us through this prayer to call his Father our Father. He was inviting us to receive the Father's love and ask for the hallowing of his name and the coming of his kingdom. We've considered those requests in previous messages. And now we come to verse 3. Give us each day our daily bread. Let's consider this request under two headings this morning. First, the meaning of the request. And second, some encouragements for fathers on this Father's Day. First, the meaning of the request. This request, like the others we have considered, is likewise found in the Old Testament, or its roots are found in the Old Testament. This request is rooted in what we find revealed to God's people in the Old Covenant. Hallowing God's name was an Old Testament concept, as we discussed a couple of weeks ago in Leviticus 22 and verse 32. God said, You shall not profane my holy name, my set apart name, my sanctified name, that I may be sanctified or hallowed among the people of Israel. So Jesus, in the Lord's Prayer, was building on that commandment and turning it into prayer to the Heavenly Father. And the coming of the Father's kingdom through his beloved Son was also an Old Testament concept. As we heard last week in 1 Chronicles chapter 7, God through Nathan told David, King David, about his offspring, his physical descendant, who would be enthroned forever. God said, beginning in verse 11 of that passage, "I will raise up your offspring after you, one of your own sons, and I will establish his kingdom. His throne shall be established forever." So here in the Lord's Prayer, or the Our Father, as it is also called, Jesus taught his disciples to pray for the further establishment of the Father's kingdom through King Jesus. The coming and the work of God's Son in his incarnate life, his death, his resurrection and ascension, through the work of the outpoured Spirit who brings King Jesus to sit on the throne of human hearts, and through the church to defeat the kingdom of Satan, and ultimately the coming of God's kingdom through the second coming of our Lord Jesus Christ in glory. So it is with this request: Father, give us each day our daily bread. It was rooted in the Old Testament, in the way that God revealed himself to his people in the Old Covenant. We see this particularly in the Exodus story, as in Exodus chapter 16, when the people were in the wilderness and God provided manna from heaven. And he told them in Exodus 16 in verse 11, "I'm about to rain bread from heaven for you, and the people shall go out and gather a day's portion every day." So the people were not to fret. They were not to be anxious about their provisions. They were not to grumble or complain. They were to trust the Lord. They were literally to look up to heaven for provision, sustenance, daily bread, and enjoy that provision and give thanks to God for it each day. Here, Jesus builds on that concept of daily bread, so integral to our relationship with the Heavenly Father, this reliance upon God for provision. And he was teaching us to incorporate this concept of daily bread into our prayer life. And he was teaching us a couple of essential truths through it. First, God loves our bodies as well as our souls. God loves our bodies as well as our souls. God made us body and soul. He made us as physical beings as well as spiritual beings. So we are to rely on him for our physical as well as our spiritual needs. It is not less spiritual to pray for material needs. In fact, it is spiritually immature not to pray for our physical needs. In the Lord's Prayer, bread represents all our physical needs, our provision, our physical sustenance, our clothing, our shelter, all our financial needs and the ways we meet them, our vocations, our budgets, our savings, our investments, our giving. All the resources God has called us to manage for his glory and our good. 1 Timothy 6:17 tells us that God richly provides us with everything for our enjoyment. Material blessings are just that. They are blessings from God to be enjoyed and used for God's glory and to be a blessing to others. So we should not disassociate our material possessions and needs from our prayer life. We should ask God for what we need. And even as we ask to be directed by His Spirit for what we want. For what we want to enjoy and in this life and what we want to bless others with in this life. We should ask God how He wants us to use what He entrusts to us. We should depend on Him for our physical needs and communicate that dependence through prayer. As one theologian of the 19th century, Benjamin Morgan Palmer, put it, prayer is the language of creaturely dependence. And that's never more true than when we are praying, give us this day our daily bread. It's a beautiful thing to communicate that kind of daily dependence on God for our physical needs. And this touches on another reality, our dependence on God for our physical health. Not just our physical provision, but also physical health. Just as there are some who think it is less spiritual to pray for material provision, they also claim it is less spiritual to pray for physical health and healing. Well, nothing could be further from the truth. St. John began his third epistle this way. He wrote, "The elder to the beloved Gaius, whom I love in truth, beloved, I pray that all may go well with you and that you may be in good health as it goes well with your soul." And James, beginning in verse 14, James chapter 5, beginning in verse 14 says, "Is anyone among you sick? Let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith will save the one who is sick, and the Lord will raise him up. And if he has committed sins, he will be forgiven. Therefore, confess your sins to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. The prayer of a righteous person has great power as it is working. Elijah was a man with a nature like ours, and he prayed fervently that it might not rain. And for 3 years and 6 months, it did not rain on the earth. Then he prayed again, and heaven gave rain, and the earth bore its fruit." So let us not fall into the unchristian trap of thinking that it is spiritually mature to pray for spiritual things and immature to always be praying for physical things. That is a false dichotomy. Jesus and his apostles teach us that it is mature to pray for both. God delights in providing for us physically and spiritually. It is mature to pray for the hallowing of God's name, for forgiveness of sins, for the prosperity of souls. And it is also mature to pray for daily bread and employment and investments and budgets, yes, budgets, and physical healing and bodily health and rain from heaven and crops to harvest and enjoy. And notice, as a third nugget here, that Jesus told us to pray for our daily bread. We should delight in our Father's company so much that we spend time with Him in prayer daily. And we commit our needs to Him on a daily basis. I was reading in a publication by Reformed Theological Seminary, the Charlotte campus. I was reading an interview with Dr. Don Fortson, who just retired after many, many years as professor of history at the seminary, and one of the questions that he was asked was, what advice do you have for seminary students and young ministers? He said, well, I'll mention two things. Number one, be uncompromisingly protective of your quiet time with God each day. Make sure that you spend quiet time with God each day. And second, be uncompromisingly diligent in exercise, in physical exercise, to make sure you're taking care of your body in part so that you can minister to others. And we see those two things coming together right here as we pray to the Lord. Lord, give us this day our daily bread. You have called us to steward our body, so we're asking you for the provision, the ability, the wherewithal to do just that and to enjoy you as we do. So we should delight in this daily communion. We should delight in saying, Lord, we have this physical need. We have this material need. And we're looking to you to bless it. That's a beautiful thing. To open up your hands in faith to God and say, this is what we need. You didn't call us to carry this burden on our own. This is what we need. We're looking to you as young birds open their mouths. You ever watched young birds in the nest just opening their mouths dependently upon their mother or their father too? Do father birds do this as well? The worm? Okay, yeah. So it worked. Their father to provide sustenance. They're just mouths wide open. That's how we're to be before God. That is called spiritual maturity. To depend on God that way for all things, including our physical needs. Jesus invites us to take any and all anxieties we have about our material needs or our physical bodies, or the needs and health of those whom we love, and give those to the Father every day. That is our privilege. That is our right, our blood-bought right. Christ bought that right for you. It is our privilege and right as God's adopted children accepted in His Son. So that's a little about the meaning of the request. And in the second place this morning, a few words of encouragement for fathers on this Father's Day. The first encouragement is simply this. Fathers, remember that you are first and foremost a son. You're a son of the Heavenly Father, adopted in Jesus, and indwelt by the Spirit of adoption, by whom you call God Abba, Father. Your ultimate identity in this life is not that of father. It is not that of a husband. It is not that of an employee or an employer, a banker, business owner, butcher, baker, or candlestick maker. Any candlestick makers here this morning? That's not your identity. Your identity is son. You are God's child, now and forever, by His adopting love, through your faith in His Son Jesus. So rest in that. Marvel at that. Give thanks for that. Bask in that on this Father's Day. That is God's Father's Day gift to you. His free and saving and keeping, adopting love. He doesn't call you to earn His love. You don't earn His love by how good of a husband you are, how good of a dad you are, how good of a provider you are. That's not how this works. When you believe in His Son, He embraces you in His arms, and there's nothing you can do to increase that love. He loves you with the same love He loves His Son. There's nothing you can do there. Increase that love or diminish that love. He loves you. Period. He loves you, and there's nothing you can do about it. He gives you his love every moment of every day. Without hesitation, reservation, or expiration. So the way you love your family is simply to be this. It is your gospel response to God's love for you. His fatherly love for you. That's what we should be asking God our Father to do. Father, help me love my family the way you love me. Without hesitation, reservation, or expiration. Without manipulation, but only as defined by your grace to me and to us in your Son. And so when we seek to provide for our families as fathers, which is such a noble thing to do, we heard that exhortation from the epistle reading, that even unbelievers provide for their families. So how much more should Christian fathers seek to provide? Not perfectly, not as much as we would like, but faithfully. For their families. So as we seek to do that, we say, Father in heaven, help me to do that. Help me to provide as you enable me physically and providentially. Help me to do that in order to communicate something of your fatherly love and care to those entrusted to my care. Like praying for our daily bread, working to provide for our families is one of the most spiritually mature things a father can do. It's not less spiritual than praying for the daily bread. Remember the old saying, ora et labora. Pray and work. Not pray or work. Pray and work. And when we seek to do that as fathers and children, thank you, fathers, for doing that. Thank them. The great Father's Day gift. Thank you, Dad, for working to provide. But when we seek to do that, let us ask God the Father to help us do so in a way that shows his fatherly love to our families. And God will use us, as we do, to impress upon them his great and sacrificial, saving, helping, keeping, fatherly love. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.